Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life, Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. Greg Horn and Action Jackson Reams here with you, and March Madness is officially here, as all the NCAA men's basketball tournaments, conference tournaments ended over the weekend, and the field of 64 or 68 or 88 or whatever it is now has been announced. But before we get started, we want to thank our sponsor of the day, Creations by Karen Flores. Guys, you got that special loved one that you want to send a flower arrangement to, look no further than the professionals at Creations by Karen. Karen Boone and her outstanding staff in taking care of Central Kentucky for over 25 years, located over in the Zandale Shopping Center, right off Nicholasville Road behind Panera Bread, next to the UPS store. You can go in there 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or order online anytime at creationsbykaren.net. In our second segment, we'll be talking with CatsIllustrated.com publisher and editor Justin Rowland about the Cats and the SEC Tournament Championship and his thoughts on how they'll do in the NCAA Tournament. But Action Jackson Reams, I did not think this name would go in this sentence. Dominique Hawkins on the All-SEC Tournament Team.
Well, it was a good weekend for Kentucky, specifically a great weekend for Dominique Hawkins, and a great final for him yesterday against Arkansas when he had a career-high 14 points, including 9 of those in the first half. And overall, just a very positive weekend for Kentucky. They go on to win their third straight SEC tournament title, their 30th overall as a program, and their 5th out of 8 years under John Calipari, the 7th time in his 8 years they've been in the finals of the SEC tournament, and they have only dropped 2 of those now. It improved Kentucky to end up being chosen as the top 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. And I thought that even though yesterday's game against Arkansas didn't provide a whole lot of opportunities of growth just because Kentucky was far and away the better team yesterday, Kentucky ended up struggling with Alabama on Saturday a lot more than I thought that they were going to. And I think it continued to let them continue to grow and get better, now carrying an 11-game win streak into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, 2 good games for them to have. Like you said, the Alabama one there, they got off to a slow start. The good news was that Malik Monk did a 7:30 a.m. shoot-around, and that seemed to kind of help wake up his game a little bit.
Well, it only lasted for one day. He didn't do it yesterday for the championship game against Arkansas, but I'm not sure he needed a whole lot of extra time to get ready when he was playing the home state school that has given him so much grief for choosing Kentucky over them. On Saturday, he ended up having 20 points, including 13 in the first half, and that's after having scored 8 points in his previous 61 minutes of play. So it was encouraging to see him play well. I believe he went and had 20 again yesterday, but he didn't shoot nearly as well. Yesterday, I'm sorry, he had 17. He had 5 of 12 shooting and 1 of 5 from 3-point range. So Malik Monk's still kind of in a area of transition right now. I feel like he's had a strange time for struggles, but the good news is that De'Aaron Fox has played fantastically. He had a career-high 28 points against Alabama on Saturday, including 19 in the second half. And Bam Adebayo has still been solid. So I think most of these guys playing their best basketball of the season, and it's good news that Malik Monk still has time to continue to get back to the high level we've seen from him throughout the year.
I think the best thing about what happened this weekend was De'Aaron Fox put on the Superman cape and said, fellas, get on my back. I'm going to take you to the promised land. And he did. And just when he wanted to get into the paint, he was doing it at will, but was also hitting that mid-range jump shot, which was very impressive to me. And then Dominique Hawkins, as I opened up our segment with, I mean, that kid right there, man, just was setting the tone defensively, playing at a high level, and just inspiring everybody. So when he came off the bench, they didn't miss a beat.
No, he's been great with his effort all his career, really, but now he's adding some offensive abilities into that as well, and I think that has been really important in his maturation and the fact that one of the reasons he's getting on the floor even more and more for Kentucky, he's able to give them not just an energy boost, but he can now get on the scoreboard as well. I don't think he was hitting shots on Saturday. These games all kind of run together for me, Greg, but yesterday he ended up having those 14 points, and he just really looks like a guy who's playing with extreme confidence. He's a guy that's going to bring a lot of experience, especially for the NCAA tournament. And let's not forget about the guy that you always talk about, Derek Willis. He's a guy who maybe isn't shooting and hitting as many threes as he used to, but he's getting things done in other ways and ways that we hadn't seen from him up to this point in his career. He tied Bam Adebayo yesterday with 9 rebounds for most on the team and has really just improved his play, been very efficient and averaging a lot of really good minutes right now for Kentucky.
He also threw in 2 blocks. He had 10, I believe, before the Alabama game in the 3 previous games. So you're right, just giving him things another way. But I just like having him as a senior on the court. And then Dominique Hawkins, you know, obviously, we know he's a great defensive player, but, man, 4 steals yesterday. But he's also hitting the 3-pointer, and he also has that nice little floater in the lane. So used to, it's just he's a great defensive player, but now he's also giving him stuff offensively. So I tell you, I really think this team, obviously, the NCAA tournament selection committee thought we were pretty good if we were the 5th overall pick, the highest-ranked number 2 seed. But by the region they placed us in, we're going to earn it, baby.
They've got a lot of work to do, and hopefully we'll be able to break that down a little bit later in the show for you. We'll specifically focus on Kentucky's region and then look more in depth at the rest of it, but we'll definitely talk with Justin Rowland about that in our next segment. Just wanted to mention with that Alabama game, I was impressed by Alabama. I thought that they were a team coming in that should have been overwhelmed. In the second half, Kentucky had stretched it out to a 9-point lead, and I thought they were going to run away with the game, but Alabama stuck with them the whole time. Kentucky ended up getting the win 79-74, and it was the closest game of the weekend, which was the game, I think, out of the 3 that I would have been most confident in Kentucky being able to win far and away, was against Alabama, and yet the Crimson Tide put up a good fight, and they've got a good recruiting class coming in next year. They could be a very talented SEC team next season.
There's no doubt in my mind next year they're going to be one of the top 3 in the SEC. Might even play for second there, see what Florida does. But his guys play hard. They just wanted it more than we did the first 10 minutes. We couldn't get – they got about 5 offensive rebounds in the first 5 minutes of the game. Cal, it was a turnstile between Derek Willis and Wenyan Gabriel. He kept taking each of them out because their man kept getting offensive rebounds, and they just wanted it more. They were physically tougher, and I love what Avery Johnson's doing. Of course, let's don't forget a former – frequent guest on 1250 Sports Talk, John Pelfrey's on that bench too. You know John Pelfrey, he was about playing hard as a former Wildcat and a former Kentucky kid from Eastern Kentucky.
Absolutely. You got to give the shout outs to our guys when we possibly can. So that was a great game. And then yesterday I thought the whole game Kentucky looked like the better team. Kentucky ended up being, obviously by the result, the better team with an 82-65 win. I thought it was silly, all of the extracurriculars that were going on, but I was not surprised because, you know, Arkansas had been on Malik Monk his entire career. They played that game in Rupp Arena and got run off the floor. And yesterday they were getting run off the floor again. They had their basketball director of operations trash talking Malik Monk before the game in the pregame area. And then During the game, Malik Monk hit a three, which ended up being wiped away, and turned and did some gesture to the sideline. Arkansas fans say it was a throat slash. I think it was more of a, you know, it's over, like we're finishing off this game. But either way, Monk with a little bit there, and then you had the two late flagrant fouls on Arkansas, the first being Dusty Hannah's, of all guys, going in with a hard screen on Dominique Hawkins, and then the one that really bothered me was Moses Kingsley going for De'Aaron Fox's face on a closeout, and Kentucky did a great job of not responding through physicality, trying to fight or anything. They just went out and kept beating the tar out of Arkansas, and I think that was Arkansas's only response was, hey, let's at least make these guys remember us. And Greg, I don't think Kentucky's going to remember them in the long run of this whole season.
Oh, I agree. I thought Kentucky's defense was really solid yesterday. Yeah, Arkansas only shot 42% from the field and then shot an anemic 22% from three-point range as they were 4 for 18. And for them to have a chance yesterday, they needed to make some threes, but they couldn't do it. And I thought Kentucky's defense was really good, especially Dominique Hawkins coming off the bench, putting tremendous ball pressure on their different guards.
And Kentucky has moved back up into the Ken Pomeroy, I guess, rankings of adjusted efficiency. Offense and defense, they're top 10 now in both of those. Second, I believe, in offense and ninth in defense. And if that's something you care about, I think all of the national champions the last so many years have been teams that were both top 10 in offensive efficiency and defense in those Ken Pomeroy stats.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that because defensively, about a month ago, there's no way we would have been in the top 10.
Absolutely. I think this Kentucky team's come a long way, and like we said, they've got a tough region, so they got plenty of work left to do.
Well, they'll tip it off on this Friday night at 9:45-ish, 9:50. I've drank lots of caffeine to play Northern Kentucky, the Crusaders. Well, stay with us. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Cats Illustrated's Justin Rowland. You're listening to Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT. Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill. Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120. Or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that action coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the six steps to a better business instead of harder Like some people I know,
I don't know what Action Coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my Action Coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local Action Coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jack Springs here with you on Monday. I want to thank our sponsor of the day, Creations by Karen Flores. You can go in person and sponsor or buy your flowers anytime, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday on their store there on Zandale Shopping Center off Nicholasville Road behind Panera's next to the UPS store. Or you can order online anytime at creationsbykaren.net. Well, join us on the phone now is Cats Illustrated's Justin Rowland. And Justin, the SEC tournament, the Big Blue Nation, a lot of people traveled down there for that. And the Big Blue faithful were really happy as the Cats cut the nets down again and were the 30-time SEC tournament champion. What were your takeaways from this weekend for the Kentucky basketball team?
Well, I mean, I thought they continued to put everything together. You know, towards the end of the season, they played with more toughness down the stretch in games, but you know, another issue popped up with the slow starts, and they did get off to one slow start in Nashville. But for the most part, they started better, they finished better, they played with more mental focus, consistency, consistent effort. They've proven that they can win games against quality teams, maybe not great teams when Malik Monk isn't scoring a lot. But I thought the biggest takeaway was what the seniors are giving them right now. I mean, Dominic Hawkins, Derek Willis, even Michael Mulder, those guys. What they're giving them right now is so impressive. I couldn't have anticipated it, and I think it's a game changer for this team going into the tournament.
Well, let me ask you this question. You know, you talk about obviously Derek Willis and Dominic Hawkins being Kentucky kids. I just wonder, you know, I mean, I can remember back when many moons ago, I'll show my age, but when they Eddie Sutton signed John Pelfrey, Darren Feldhaus, to get, you know, scholarships, and then of course his son Sean Sutton wound up being a walk on, but I just wonder, is it worth with this one-and-done thing, and I'm not saying every year and not saying it has to be like, well, every other year we're going to sign a Kentucky kid, but I do wonder if it benefits the Kentucky program if they sign a kid out of Kentucky at least every 2 years and stays 4 years, because you see the difference that Derek Willis and Dominic Hawkins have made.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in an ideal world, it would be great if you could do that. I think the only issue is, I think it's hard for Calipari to keep those guys in the program for 4 years, because even 3-4-star kids, even if they know they're not one-and-done guys, they still want to eventually develop into starting players. And at Kentucky, the problem is for 3- and 4-year players, you're going to be recruited over. And if you stay 1, 2, 3, 4 years, you know, is there any guarantee that they're ever going to get the kind of minutes that Dominic Hawkins is getting right now? And I think that's maybe what Charles Matthews looked at last year. So, I mean, I think, yeah, Calipari in an ideal world would always have a couple of those guys on his team, upperclassmen from Kentucky maybe. You know what it means to wear the uniform at a level that maybe some of the one-and-dones don't. But I think it's hard to keep those guys in the program because they want to play too.
Well, that's a good point. But, I mean, a kid like Charles Matthews, though, he was from Chicago, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, just to show the issue that they face. I mean, if you're not going to be a one and done kid, I mean, I think it's hard to keep those guys in the program. I think Calipari talked about this year, you know, the issue that he's had having to talk to Willis in the past is like, you know, you got to kind of talk him off the ledge a little bit. There's no guarantee I'm going to be able to give you 25 minutes a game. And if you're talking about mostly when you're talking about Kentucky kids, you're talking about guys that are going to have to sacrifice a lot.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. I just went on a personal note. Have you seen Tevion Hollingsworth play at Dunbar by any chance?
I haven't seen him, but our T.J. Walker, I think, is familiar with him and has seen him, and he thinks very highly of it. At one point, it seemed like Kentucky was definitely interested, but you know, he's going to have a great career, just not at Kentucky.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree. I think Western Kentucky got a steal off of him. All right, well, obviously NCAA tournament brackets came out. What was your thoughts about Kentucky's draw? Were you happy that the committee recognized the strength of them, or did you think they were overrated by getting the highest two seed in the tournament?
No, I didn't think they were overrated. I thought there was a strong case to be made that they should have been in conversation for a one seed, and they obviously were, because the committee said that there were like six teams under consideration for a one, and Kentucky was the 15th seeded. So, and I think they were seeded fairly. If you look at North Carolina's resume and you stack it up to Kentucky's resume, UNC has like two more wins against the top 25, but Kentucky has a better record against the RPI top 50. If you go by the RPI rankings before the conference tournaments, Kentucky had won head-to-head. North Carolina doesn't have really any marquee wins away from Chapel Hill. You know, I thought Kentucky deserved to be in the running for a one seed. I will say that if they were the first two seed, and they were the 15th seed that the committee said, I don't think they got the easiest two seed path to the Elite Eight, because, you know, I don't think Wichita State is too daunting. I think some people think that they're really daunting. I think they'll handle the first couple of rounds, but to get UCLA is such a bad matchup, potentially in a Sweet 16, I thought that was difficult for sure.
Justin, this is Jackson. A lot of people out there where the big storyline, I guess, was Duke. They ended up being a two seed in number one overall Villanova's bracket. They won over the weekend, defeated North Carolina and then Notre Dame. Lots of people saying maybe they should have gotten the one seed over North Carolina. I don't personally agree, but what were your thoughts on the seeding for Duke?
You know, this is just one of those years where you could make a case for a lot of different teams, and it really just depends on what you choose to measure. I wouldn't have had Duke as a one seed. My one seed would have been Kansas, Villanova, Gonzaga, and Arizona. I thought Arizona was phenomenal at the end of the season. They had only lost two games when they had Trier in the lineup. They put together some quality wins as a top-tier Pac-12 teams. But the thing that Duke did have is Duke has more wins against top 25, top 50 teams than anybody, and Duke has by far the best road and neutral site resume of any team in the country. And those are the only games that you're playing in the NCAA tournament. So I get that they had more losses than any team that would have been seeded number one. That's why I wouldn't have seeded them first. But I do agree that it was part of the conversation legitimately. Now, I think they got an easier path through their half of that bracket. You know, I don't think Baylor is as daunting as UCLA, and I don't think South Carolina, even if they play South Carolina in South Carolina, they're not going to score enough to beat Duke. So I think Duke's path looks better than Kentucky's, although Villanova's tough.
Just tuned in, we're talking with Justin Rowland. He's the publisher and editor of CatsIllustrated.com. If you're a big Kentucky basketball, football fan, any Kentucky sports, baseball, they cover them all, you ought to get a subscription to that. So go to CatsIllustrated.com, and you can get signed up and purchase a subscription for that. Also, a great follow on Twitter, at Rowland Rivals. Well, Justin, as you look at Kentucky's bracket, the South, how do you see them coming out of that? Do you see them getting to UCLA and beating them, playing North Carolina for the final, or how do you see them playing out in this bracket?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly haven't decided how far I think they're going to go, which is really bad for talking points on radio, but I think the odds are against them reaching the Final Four, which is to just say, I think, you know, if you have to go through UCLA and North Carolina, I think it's more likely than not that they don't get there. Because those are both two real, they're basically two coin flip games. I think I'm going to have them losing in the Sweet 16 at UCLA, but it wouldn't surprise me if they get to the Final Four. I honestly think they match up better with North Carolina than with UCLA, because North Carolina has really struggled. Where they struggled defensively is defending the high ball screens. They struggled defending dribble penetration. I think Kentucky can exploit that. I think Roy Williams is stubborn enough that he will run with Kentucky as he did in the first meeting. And I don't think that they would have to have another 47 points from Malik Monk. I think that they just match up better with North Carolina than they do with UCLA. You know, Kentucky's defense has gotten better. They're probably better able to defend UCLA, but it's a historically good UCLA offense. And Kentucky's offense has kind of taken a step back, too. So they will have the home court advantage in that game against UCLA, assuming it happens. But I think, honestly, I think UCLA is a tougher matchup for them than North Carolina is.
Justin, on a lighter note, I loved your tweet about 8 hours ago. It said you said the best moment yesterday on the ESPN bracket show was Jay Williams calling Wake Forest dangerous because they really played Duke tough.
Yeah, it's like I heard a flood of tweets that were funny after that, like, watch out for Syracuse. Like, Syracuse beat Duke, and they're not even in the NCAA tournament. Watch out for North Carolina State. You know, they won in Durham, and they're not in the NCAA tournament. The best case against Duke, in my mind, is aside from the good stuff they did, like, they weren't even that hot to end the regular season. They lost, like, 3 out of their last 4 games to end the regular season. So, I mean, really not a good case for a one seed. But I didn't think it was a really great look to have a lot of Duke guys on ESPN, you know, pumping Duke up as a potential one seed when so much of the country just thought it was a joke.
Justin, any other thoughts overall just on the whole bracket? You know, some people talking about anybody being overseeded or underseeded?
Honestly, I thought the Midwest, the South, and the West were pretty even. I thought the East is tough at the top with Villanova and Duke. Every 1 and 2 seed is going to be tough. The one thing I would say about the East region is there are a lot of teams trending downward in the East. Like Baylor is trending downward as the 3. Florida is trending downward as the 4. Virginia is trending downward as the 5. South Carolina is trending downward as the 7. Or Wisconsin is trending downward as the 8. Like, a lot of teams after Duke and Villanova have been playing pretty bad basketball over the past month and a half, and that's what really stood out to me about the East region. So I think it sets up very well for Villanova and Duke to make it to that regional final.
Justin, before we let you go, don't want to miss out. I know it's obviously basketball central this weekend for Kentucky fans, but we know football recruiting for Kentucky is 365 days a year. Did Kentucky make any offers to anybody over the weekend?
Yeah, they did. They offered a kid, Miller, from Florida, who's a linebacker. I think they're in late last week. James Miller, Darren Henshaw offered him in his area in Florida. And he's an inside linebacker. That's a position Kentucky's going to recruit because they lose Courtney Love. They're going to have Cash Daniel, maybe a couple other guys, but they need an inside linebacker in this class. And Darren Henshaw also offered a little kind of scat back jitterbug guy. I want to say his name is Jacoby Jackson or something like that. Jackson's his last name, 5'9", 165 pounds. It's a lot of names to keep up with. I think they've offered like 200, 250 guys at this point. But Henshaw was the busy one offering guys in Florida, and Florida will again be a big part of their recruiting class in 2018.
That's a good place to get them. A lot of great players there. Well, Justin, as always, man, we enjoy talking football and basketball with you. Thanks so much, and good luck with your bracket, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
All right. That's Justin Rowland with publisher of CatsIllustrated.com. If you're a huge Kentucky football and basketball fan, they also cover baseball, women's basketball, and some of the other sports, but they just crush football and basketball. Nobody covers UK football better, in my opinion, than Justin Rowland. Go to their website, CatsIllustrated.com, and you can get a subscription there, purchase that. And then also, he's a must follow on Twitter, in my opinion, at Rowland, Rowland, Rivals. Well, we got to take a break. We get back, lots more college basketball to talk about. March Madness is here, baby. You're listening to Sports Talk with AM 1250 on AM 1250 WLRT.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Did you know that Asbury University offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? Asbury is also one of only 2 private colleges in the state of Kentucky with a nationally accredited music program. And Asbury also has more than 150 student organizations to choose from. If you're interested in participating in college instead of being lost in the crowd, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you on a March Madness Monday. I want to thank Creations by Karen Flores for being our sponsor of the day. To find out more information about them, and even if you want to order online, you can at creationsbykaren.net. I also want to remind you, if you ever miss any of our 1250 Sports Talk shows, you can always catch the podcast, the one of our show today. We just got done talking with Cats Illustrated's Justin Rowland. Always good stuff when we talk with him. You can go to our website, 1250sportstalk.com, about 6:15, or the easiest way to get our podcast automatically, just follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook simply at 1250 Sports Talk. Also, we've got a bracket challenge if you want to get in on that. I can't believe I haven't talked about that in the first two segments, but go to our Facebook page there, 1250 Sports Talk. You can get in. We signed up with the ESPN under 1250 Sports Talk 2017, and whoever gets first prize gets a $100 gift card to use at either Shamrocks or the Cellar. Last year, Nathan Zimmerman won that, so he's going to try to defend his title, I'm sure. But
last year, actually, John Higginbotham won that
tournament. Really?
Yes, yes. Last year was my buddy, John Higginbotham.
Really? All right, maybe it was the year before then that Nathan.
Yeah, I think it was
won.
Nathan 2 years ago, and then it was John Higginbotham last year.
Okay. All right. Well, I apologize to John Higginbotham then, baby. See if you can defend your title. But just go to our Facebook page, 1250sportstalk.com, and you can get on there and get signed up. Got to get it done soon, though, so make sure you get a chance to win. All right, Jackson Reams, we got all this great stuff that's gone on. We haven't really talked much about Kentucky's draw. We talked some, of course, with Justin about it. We haven't really talked about it ourselves. What did you think about the South region that we got? The good news is we're just playing up the road in Indianapolis. I don't know if it's bad news, but later on it's going to get tough, though, isn't it, between UCLA and North Carolina? Even that second-round game possibly, man, Wichita State and Dayton could be tough.
Yeah, I thought it was a really tough draw for Kentucky, and I guess you can definitely say that year in, year out, Kentucky has had really tough brackets. I don't go with all the conspiracy theorists who think the NCAA is just out there to put the hardest bracket with Kentucky. I think it's a question maybe that some point they should answer, just because year after year I do feel like Kentucky has really tough draws. But this year I thought I really understood it. First of all, after Kentucky played UCLA and North Carolina this year, as a Kentucky fan and having seen this for years, I always expected Kentucky to play either one of those two teams, both of those teams, or even include Louisville into that, and I thought Kentucky would see multiple out of those three teams. So I wasn't surprised that North Carolina's the one in that area and UCLA the three. With the whole tournament seeding that the NCAA came out with and put Kentucky as the top two seed, it's unfortunate of the region that they drew, but they have a lot to do with geography, and so I was not surprised that the West was given the Arizona as the two seed. I think they care more about the fact that, you know, Arizona is going to be closer to home that way, and I think probably the easiest two seed up until Villanova, I think, is Duke, but I don't necessarily think that's because they tried to give Duke the easiest region. I think there's just a lot of teams, like Justin Rowland said, that aren't playing well in that region. For Kentucky, I like their chances in the first two rounds. I'm not as worried as about Wichita State as everyone out there is. I understand they're 30-4 and a 10 seed, but they have played three NCAA tournament teams this year, Greg, and they lost to all three of them. They beat Illinois State twice, but that Illinois State team didn't make the tournament. So I'm not as worried about Wichita State. I think Kentucky matches up well with them. And I like Kentucky's chances in a rematch against UCLA. And that has more to do with the fact that I don't feel like teams usually own John Calipari's teams more than once. The one that does concern me is North Carolina. I think you already beat them once. They weren't quite at full strength when Kentucky played them the first time. They were without Theo Pinson, who's been playing really well. And I think it's going to be a fun region. There's a lot of different things to pay attention to. I think that Middle Tennessee State team can make a lot of noise. And I mean, Cincinnati's a good six seed. Butler is the four seed. It's a really tough region.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they'll get past, I think, Wichita State or Dayton, whoever is that. But I look forward to playing UCLA again. I think it'd be a nice wake-up call for our guys. I think we were playing so well that we didn't really respect them enough yet. And now our guys, Monk and Fox, realize, hey, obviously UCLA is the real deal, and they're not soft because they play out west. So I look forward to that rematch, and unlike you, the Carolina game would just be amazing, I think, to get her play them again. So it'll just be interesting to see. But, you know, man, I don't get into this biased, you know, bracket thing that they're trying to penalize or make it tough for Kentucky. The way I look at it, you got to play six games to win a national championship. Just quit whining, play them, let's get them done. And, you know, that one year when we went to the national championship, I don't think we won it, but didn't we have to beat, like, Wichita State in the first game when they were undefeated, Michigan, who was really good, and Louisville?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky has had these murderous rows before, and so we'll just see if they'll be able to have the success that they've had in the past. I think I saw on ESPN that since 2010, which was John Calipari's first season, he has the most NCAA tournament wins of any coach in D1, and he has the most Final Fours as well. He's had four Final Fours since 2010. And so, I mean, they've got a good record with it. He has 23 wins compared to Krzyzewski's 19 and Bill Self's 16. So you're going to get a tough row, and I think this Kentucky team's playing in the best possible position that they have been all year long. I like where they are right now, and I like their possibilities going through this tournament. Also, I like the regions they're going to be in. They're going to be in Indianapolis for the first two games, Memphis for the next two, and then if they made it to the Final Four and championship, that would be all the way out in Phoenix. But it'll give the opportunity for Big Blue Nation to show up in both of those regions if they're able to make it through to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight.
Well, I agree with what you said earlier in the segment. I think so many of the seedings were based on geography, and just no doubt about it. And at the end of the day, as I said, I mean, you know, it's about the fans. It really is, and gives them a chance to go because, man, it's expensive to go to these tournaments.
It definitely is, but, you know, Kentucky will always have a great turnout. I expect nothing less from that. They'll get to face the Norse from Northern Kentucky in that opener. Unfortunate, I think, for the Norse that's how they have to start their NCAA tournament careers, but everyone saw this coming. So, by the way, if you're going to pat yourself on the back for knowing that matchup, you're not special. Everyone saw Northern Kentucky playing either Kentucky or Louisville. It happened, and now that game will be in Indianapolis. Kentucky should roll easily. I think they're a 19-point favorite to open. And it also helps Northern Kentucky doesn't have a player over 6'7" on their team either.
Yeah, but the exposure that Northern Kentucky's going to get, and it's kind of like when Asbury, which Northern Kentucky's a lot better than Asbury, but the exposure they're going to get off this, priceless, especially for kids that they recruit in the Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana area. All right, we're going to take a break. Stay with us. We get back with lots more sports to talk about. You're listening to Sports Talk with Greg Horn and Action Jackson Rings on AM 1250.
Flowers
Yours are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams with you here on a March Madness Monday. I want to thank our sponsor of the day, Creations by Karen Florce. You can order anytime or find out more information on how to call them or their location by checking them out online at creationsbykaren.net. I also want to remind you that we've got our own NCAA bracket. If you want to participate, we're part of the ESPN bracket. Ours is under 1250 Sports Talk 2017, and our first prize winner is going to get a $100 gift card to Shamrocks or the Cellar, which is a great place to go and watch all these NCAA tournament games. So to be a part of it, just go to Facebook, and you can find us there, or Twitter at 1250 Sports Talk. Well, Jackson, just lots of great games over the weekend. One I really wanted to stay awake and watch, but just couldn't do it, was some of those Pac-12 games, because, I mean, you had number 3 UCLA, number 7 Arizona, and number 5 Oregon, but just couldn't stay awake. The old man, did you watch any of those games?
I watched the championship game, which I guess was Arizona-Oregon. I watched a little bit of Arizona-UCLA as well, but if you listen to Bill Walton, it's still the conference of champions or whatever that the Pac-12 is. Our friend Rick Bozich from WDRB pointed out pretty nicely, though, that it hasn't been quite the conference of champions like Bill Walton seems to think it has. Their last championship was 20 years ago, and they haven't had a Final Four team since 2008. So the Pac-12 hoping to rectify that this year. They, of course, have 2-seed Arizona, 3-seed UCLA, and 3-seed Oregon as well. Arizona won that championship this weekend, and I think, just like Justin Roiland, I thought they made a great case for that fourth number one seed. They defeated number 3 UCLA on Friday night, 86-75. That game really was never very close, but UCLA also had a terrible shooting day, which is about the best way to beat the Bruins. So if Kentucky is going to play UCLA, you're going to hope that they're not going to shoot their threes like they normally do. And then they went on to defeat Oregon 83-80 in the Pac-12 championship game. And I think Oregon's seeding got hurt this weekend because a big-time senior for them went out with an ACL injury. Boucher, I believe, is his last name. He's an inside presence for them. I think he leads maybe their program history in blocks. And so that kind of hurt them to lose him. And it was a great tournament there out in the Pac-12. But, man, those 11:30 tips were even hard for me to watch, Greg. So don't hate on yourself too much for falling asleep.
All right, well, Mattis, I hate to give credit. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Anthony Combs, Duke Blue Devils, they defeated North Carolina 93-83 on Friday, and then won the ACC championship Saturday with a 75-69 win over number 22 Notre Dame. And I got to tell you what, Action Jackson Reams, I thought they looked pretty good.
They have looked good, and I'm not arguing that they didn't look good. I thought the people saying they should be a one seed was ridiculous. They were a team that lost three of their last four regular season games coming into that tournament, and they had eight losses on the year. Yes, they had 13 top 50 wins. Yes, they were playing. They played that ACC tournament as well as anyone could have hoped for. And so I'm okay with them being a two seed. I think that was a good seeding for them. But I thought it was insane that you had Jay Williams and Jay Billis on ESPN trying to argue for Duke to be a number one seed. I never thought it was going to happen, and I was glad to see that the tournament committee agreed with that. I do think they're a very dangerous team. I have them coming out of that East region in one bracket, and I have Villanova in the other bracket. So I'm a little split, but I think that should be a fantastic Elite Eight game between Duke and Villanova, and one that I would be really, really interested to see. I'd be really heartbroken if one of those two teams weren't to make it that far.
I agree. I hope that they both will make it that far. Big 12, unfortunately, Texas, they're not in the big dance. They weren't even they did win one game in the Big 12 tournament, but Iowa State defeated TCU, and then number 11 West Virginia 80-74 to win the Big 12. It's the Cyclones' third title in the last 4 years, and to be honest, your boy Steve Prohm, former Murray State coach, kind of got off to a rough start this year, but has finished strong.
I mean, Iowa State has played fantastically these last few games. The only loss they had before the season ended was at West Virginia. Now you don't have to go on the road anymore, and they showed themselves as a very strong team this weekend in the Big 12 tournament, going on and winning that tournament. Let's see, where were they drawn? They were a 5 seed, I believe. Yes, in Kansas's region, in the Midwest region. I think they have another opportunity to face Kansas in the Sweet 16, and they beat them at least once this year and probably could have beaten them twice. Yeah, I think they had them at their home court as well and weren't able to do it at home, but were able to do it at Allen Fieldhouse. So I think Iowa State's a very dangerous team and could cause Kansas a lot of issues if they were to face off again. I think it's weird that you could have a Big 12 matchup in the Sweet 16. I thought they were supposed to avoid those things. And I thought maybe Iowa State could have gotten a little bit higher of a seed, but they're a very dangerous team right now.
Well, the best part is if they wind up playing each other, it'll be in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, that would be the rematch that maybe Kansas City wanted for the Big 12 tournament, but Kansas got themselves sent home too early for that.
All right, and the feel-good story of the tournament was the Michigan Wolverines.
Michigan is really hot right now. They went and won that Big Ten championship over the weekend after having their plane slide off the runway, had some really scary events, then played their first game against Illinois in warm-up jerseys, but beat Illinois soundly, beat 13th-ranked Purdue, defeated Minnesota and little Ricky P, 84-77 in the semifinals, and then smacked number 24 Wisconsin, 71-56. And they are the 7 seed right there with Louisville, the 2 seed. They will open with 10 seed Oklahoma State, and Louisville will open with Jacksonville State. But that could be Louisville's second round matchup. I think Michigan is hot as any team in the country right now. And the Cardinals, I do believe, should be worried about that game against Michigan. It would, of course, be a rematch from the year that Louisville won the championship when they beat Michigan in the title game.
All right. Well, there's other sports going on right now. Believe it or not, other than UK basketball, of course, tonight the women are going to find out where they're going to be, and they are hoping to maybe they can host at least a couple of games.
7 p.m. is the women's selection show, so keep an eye out for that. The Cats finished 18th in the final AP poll that was released today. By the way, the Kentucky men finished 5th in that final AP poll. It's the 8th straight year that the women have now finished in the top 20 in the final AP poll, and according to our own Christy Thomas, our own guest, Christy Thomas from WKYT, SEC Network, and UK Sports Network, Kentucky should get a 4 seed and be able to host at Memorial Coliseum the first 2 rounds, and then should be able to go to Rupp Arena for the next 2 games, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, if they can make it that far. So it should be a good turnout for, or a good fall, a good bracket, hopefully, for Kentucky. And you just got to hope that you're not in number one UConn's region. As long as that's not the case, I think this Cats team could surprise some people this year.
Well, if you want to watch that tournament draw will be on ESPN at 7 o'clock tonight, the bracket special for the women. UK baseball, UK softball, they both had hot weekends.
They had some big-time weekends. Let's start with the softball team. 5-0 this weekend, including a 5-1 win over 15th-ranked Michigan. So the 20th-ranked Cats have now won a program record 13 straight games. They are 18-4 and have already played some ranked teams this year, so have gotten some good experience before they get ready to start the SEC, which, just as it is in many other sports, is a power conference in softball. So Kentucky will be moving into SEC play very soon, sitting in a very good position so far this season. The baseball team, on the other hand, swept Miami of Ohio this weekend in a three-game series, defeating the Red Hawks, I think is their mascot, 6-4, 16-3, and 14-2. They are now 11-6 overall and 9-0 at Cliff Hagen Stadium, outscoring opponents 97-16 at home. They, too, are very close to SEC play getting kicked off. They play Murray State tomorrow, a game that'll be on the SEC Network, actually. And then they will go and play Texas A&M, who I believe is a top 10, top 15 team right after they play Murray State.
Well, UK baseball got it rolling. Softball, tickets for those are very reasonable, so it's a great place to go enjoy an athletic event. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that. But, man, is it getting better than this right now?
It doesn't. There's a lot going on. Also something to keep an eye out for, or something you should go jump on right now, free tickets are available for the 2017 football spring game that is set to take place on Friday, April 14th. It is a night game at 7:30 p.m. at Commonwealth Stadium. You can get those on Ticketmaster right now. So you've got that coming up. Baseball, softball are in the swing. You've got the NCAA tournament really gets kicked off. What is the 14th? Tomorrow night are the first four games. And then you have two more on Wednesday. And then the tournament gets started on Thursday.
March Madness is here, baby. I love it. Well, that's going to be a wrap for today. But join us tomorrow. We'll let you know where the women are scheduled to play and get you caught up on all the latest sports. For Action Jackson Reams, I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow at 5:05 p.m. on Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.